crank up the music. Beautiful World by Devo. It's Wednesday. It's April the 24th, 2024. Fakeologist show here. And welcome, everybody. It seems like we have quite a few people on the website, fakeologist.com. And we're streaming live on our video platform, fakeotube.com. And, of course, we're on YouTube. We're on Twitter. We're on DLive. And we are on Odyssey. I don't think anyone uses Odyssey for live streaming, but I send the signal there just in case. I don't see Odyssey chat because I'd have to open another window. And since no one's ever there, I usually don't bother. But if you're over there now, come over to fakeotube.com and come check us out there. I don't think you need a password to be on the FakeoTube live stream. But you do need a login if you want to chat. So please come on over there and check us out. And today is Wednesday, and that means recurring guests, Fake Nukes Phil, who is the most prolific fake media fakery bit shooter there is, or maybe ever was.
Oh, you're too kind.
I think. I don't know if anyone else is doing what you're doing. Welcome, Fake Nukes.
Oh, good to be here.
Yeah, I don't think anyone is doing your kind of volume. I mean, you may not be the most accurate or right, but who knows? But you're certainly the most prolific. I'll give you that. No one else is making this kind of video quantity. I can't even keep up, honestly. So I just use this show to review your videos while you're here. That's about the only time I have to get at them. So
that's cool.
We can just do that right away, you know, and
that usually works out pretty good.
It's all current, the
weekly stuff. Yeah.
So his BitChute channel is Fake Nukes. And actually, I just learned this trick. I don't know if it works for everyone. If you go to, let me just see here. Here's your channel here. Mm-hmm. Okay. If you type in bitshoot.com/fakenukes, it should go to your channel. It does. Yeah. I think they quietly put that in there. It never used to work that way before.
Oh.
So bitshoot.com/fakenukes will bring you to Fake Nukes channel. It's pretty simple.
Does that mean I've become a star?
I think they did it for everyone.
Oh, okay.
bitshoot.com/Jim Rizzoli. See if that works. No, that didn't work. Jim Rizzoli. Okay. Maybe he's got... maybe there's a problem when you have two names, I think. But because you have just one name, it actually works. So there you go.
Wow.
So that's actually makes it easier for people to find Fake Nukes Phil, because you can just type that in, and I'll put this in the show notes any hoogie for anyone. And I always make show notes the best I can. So this will be show notes. I used to number them, but now I can't be bothered because the numbering is too cumbersome. So let me just put that in now, and Phil will take your calls. Phil is not afraid to be challenged. Let it be told. If you want to challenge Phil on his views, you can leave comments. He pretty much replies to everyone on his channel. He does not back down from a challenge. So make sure you, if you want to call him up, it's a lot easier to talk than to type. If you want to call him up and challenge him on any of his stuff, I'm sure Phil is ready for that. Phil, am I correct?
Absolutely. That's what we're here for. I mean, because we come to some pretty extraordinary or unusual conclusions. And so in order to keep our sanity, we got to throw these ideas out there and see if anyone can debunk them. And, you know, mostly I get people that are calling me names, you know, like mostly in Jim Rizzoli's comment section. The people in my comment section, I know, are pretty nice. But when Rizzoli posts one of my videos, man, it's like a hive of wasps. I don't know what they are, but
how many are there really? Is there five people?
Maybe five. Well, I could judge by the nine thumbs down. There's probably about nine, because there's instantly nine thumbs down on
okay,
before the video's even posted.
That could be one guy with eight socks, though.
Yeah.
It does happen a little too quickly, so I think it's one guy. You know, there's software called HB Gary that I knew about 10 years ago. Marcus Allen told me about it. And that's military software where one guy can control 300 people or profiles. Okay. And he can get them to fight each other.
Okay.
And I think that happened to me when I was talking to Lynn last week. All of a sudden, a flat earth comment war started in the channel. We didn't talk about the flat earth that much. There must have been 200 comments. I had to turn the comments off because I got tired of getting all the notifications.
Yeah.
Now, that's COINTELPRO, I think, doing that. What okay. they do is flood your comments with stupid arguments, and then it just turns people off.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, that flat earth sure is a firebrand of a topic. Yeah, it sure does draw in the trolls. And it seems government financed, these trolls are getting paid, because they can't be that stupid on purpose. They're obviously getting paid to spend their time typing a comment to me. It's like, you're not doing this on your free time. This is so it's very interesting why they spend so much money to derail this flat earth topic. I'm not saying I believe the earth is flat. I mean, it looks flat. I will say this, however, I know that NASA is lying to us.
I agree.
I know that NASA, and that means if NASA is lying to us, that means we got to take all their conclusions and with a grain of salt and put everything on the table. And since NASA wants to push this spinny water ball Earth so much, I have to conclude that that must not be it, because NASA's been caught in so many whoppers that their version of spinny water ball Earth can't be correct.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think the flat Earth, I agree that's what Frank says. Frank is on Thursdays here. He says all engineering, all construction is based on a flat Earth. They don't take the curve into account in any situation, whether they're building a bridge, a causeway, a large road. There's no arc. The airplanes, the people that fire long-range rifles, they don't take into account a spinning ball. It's all assumed that the Earth is stationary and flat. So there's that problem. So That curve, you can calculate it according to their numbers, and it's, I don't think it's there. I took a video of Toronto from across the lake. Ironically, it was 33 miles across the lake, and that's a long way.
Yeah, that is.
And I could see the bottom of the buildings when I zoomed in with the P900. I bought the camera just for that. It doesn't take very good pictures for for regular group family photos, but it does zoom in and you can't deny it. And I was able to bring in the bottom of the building, so there was no curve in the lake to block the base of the buildings. I thought that was a pretty good experiment. So,
yeah.
So,
yeah, that, you know, that I know it's provable. I mean, we could go out and prove it ourselves. It's,
I can prove my little section.
Yeah.
I can't zoom out. I don't know how high up you'd have to go to get a picture of wherever we are. I don't know how high up you'd go. But I agree with you. NASA's lying. Why are they lying? And is the flat Earth debate, is that put there just to stop us talking about NASA lying? Because I think it is. We always get off topic as soon as the flat Earth. Because you bring in all your evidence. They bring in all their evidence. And we can't resolve it because neither of us can really prove our case. And they know that.
Yeah.
But we're not the ones saying it's a spinning ball. We're not the ones saying, here's a picture of the Earth. It's a perfect sphere. But then Neil deGrasse Tyson says it's an oblate spheroid.
Mm-hmm.
So what is it? Why are you giving me a perfect circle and you say it's fat in the middle like Neil deGrasse's belly?
Yeah.
So they can't even lie properly.
No. Yeah. And it's... Most of it is laughable, what they try to say. And and what NASA does, they get caught in laughable, you know, stunts, these astronauts with the hairspray in their hair. And they say the silliest things many times, like Don Pettit, you know, said that we can't go back to the moon because we lost that technology. And, you know, I'm old enough to remember, you know, 2001 Space Odyssey. That movie was put out in 1968. And it was by a respectable person. His name was Arthur C. Clarke. And he won a prize, a Nobel Prize, I believe, or some kind of scientific prize for inventing the geosynchronous satellite.
Right.
So he was no slouch. He was no, they called him a science fiction writer. Well, he was more than a science fiction writer. I mean, what he was also an author who wrote 2001 Space Odyssey, and he promised that we would have civilians traveling into space by the year 2001. The tickets would be affordable, like an airplane ticket, and there's space hotels, and then we can go over to the moon and stay at the moon for a little bit. But that vision is nowhere close to even coming true. And so that means Arthur C. Clarke really told us a whopper. Now, they sold a lot of tickets to his movie because of his credentials, because of his reputation. And so they need to give refunds to everybody who bought a ticket to that movie, because it's like they bought tickets based on a false pretense. This Arthur C. Clarke, it is completely... The reason why it was so popular is because people were astounded that, hey, in 33 years, because that's how many years it was from 1968.
Always 33, yeah.
In 33 years, we're going to be able to go to them. We're going to be able to just purchase a ticket out of our bank account and just go up to space. It'll never happen. Arthur C. Clarke showed us a vision that will never happen. And so his Nobel Prize needs to be removed. There is no geosynchronous satellites. It's all a hoax.
I agree. And this is what I like about Jim's channel.
Mm-hmm.
We're shooting him some of this information, satellites, NASA. The guy's in his 70s. He says he's never looked into it. So he's willing to look into it now. So it's great because a debate does usually break out in the comments. Mm-hmm. And it does provide good information or a good chance, rather, to try and prove the case, our case mm-hmm. anyway, that satellites are fake. Space is actually fake. Space was invented by Disney.
Yeah.
That's when our ideas of space came about. Disney and brought them to us. Kind of like dinosaurs. That was all a joke at the beginning, but it caught on. And then, they said, we got a whopper here that's working. So let's just keep this thing going. Mm-hmm. That's the way almost everything is. They just toss it out there and then people buy it. And then a generation goes by and all of a sudden the doubters are gone. They're all dead. And then it's a fact. I think that's how our history works. A lot of the times they get rid of, like if you and I don't pass on this media fakery to the next generation, it could die.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden not be talked about anymore.
Yeah. I see that definitely with Japan. It took them 50 years to finally agree with America's version of how World War II started. There was a New York Times article in 1994 or 1995 where the ambassador of Japan came over and officially declared that Japan now recognizes United States Pearl Harbor lie as being true. And they had to wait for that generation of Japanese to die out, the ones that could remember exactly what happened in those days. And the Japanese were nowhere near Pearl Harbor. But they had to wait for, you know, the Japanese have turned into a good little conquered country and they just kind of obey America and do whatever America says. And so, we'll accept your version that Pearl Harbor really happened. And
Well, it doesn't help that they're occupied by America. You know, all these countries.
Yeah. So that's what happened to Germany too. They're occupied by the victors, and that's why Germany hates itself. They hate their ancestors. They hate their grandfathers. How could their grandfathers be so evil? And off your knees, Germany, to quote our friend Ernst Zundel.
Yeah,
off your knees, Germany, because it's the whole world is the mess in it that it is because the wrong people won the war, as always. The wrong people always win the war. And every war is always won by the bad guys. And
here's a list of all the military bases I think. No, I guess I got this wrong. That's of every country. Where are U.S. Okay, there was a list of where all the U.S. military bases are. Sorry, I don't have that too easily. Yeah. Okay, infographic. Where is the United States? Where are they? Well, they're basically all over the place here. So I don't know if this is a good one here. But anyway, they're all over the place. Upwards of 750 military bases around the world. The U.S. has approximately 750 bases in at least 80 countries. They stop counting after 80?
Yeah.
It is approximately 173,000 troops deployed in 159 countries. So there you go.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. They even call the small bases lily pads. I love that.
Lily pads.
And here you go. The country with the most number of U.S. troops is Japan. 53,000. Yeah. And second place, what you just said, Germany.
Yeah.
So who how are they going to get the other point of view out ever?
Yeah. Yeah, there it is. 80 years after the war, and we're still concerned about those two countries. So it tells you that the World War II still haunts the consciousness of these criminals who perpetrated that crime, and they have to keep their boot
on the neck. 19 seconds.
Got our first caller in. Her.
Oh, nice.
Hey, caller in. Her, where are you calling from, and what's your first name?
This is Willard calling from Florida.
Hi, Willard. Are there any military bases in Florida?
Oh, the place is packed with them. We got Central Command is in Tampa, a special ops center for the Middle East.
All right. The Middle East is based in Tampa. I forgot. It moved.
Yeah, CENTCOM they call it. And we got Avon Park Air Force Base and Eglin. And
that's true.
All sorts of stuff. I was going to call about, but you mentioned Disney.
Yeah.
So Walt Disney, he owned the house that in the Tate LaBianca murders, LaBianca was killed in, and his friend named Dewey owned the Polanski house, you know, on Cielo Drive. It shows you how these intelligence operations work with these people, you know, how they're connected.
Yeah.
And we had the same thing in the O.J. Simpson case where, what was her name? The wife, Nicole, she was on Gretna Green, and the next door neighbor was Carl Colby, which was William Colby's son.
Oh, really?
Next door.
So next door is an intelligence operation. So they don't even go very far.
No. It's, you know, you mentioned for future fakeologists, you know, people listening to this, once they recognize how this stuff's done,
you can
see through it. You know, the guy that wrote the book for OJ, If I Did It, he worked with the National Enquirer.
Right, I remember that.
He was a writer, yeah. Yeah, and that was started by the CIA.
Right? You know, most people agreed, I don't know if the National Enquirer is still going, that if you want the real truth, read the National Enquirer. The lies are in the mainstream media.
Yeah, I believe it.
Yeah.
Phil, you mentioned about researching the faking the death phenomenon.
Uh-huh, yeah.
I remember years ago, Miles Mathis, when he first started, he said that he was doing a portrait painting in Hollywood at a rich person's house, and that they make small talk while they're doing the painting, you know, the portrait. You know, some people like talk, some don't. And there was a
especially since he was doing nudes.
Well, I don't know anything about that. But,
a lot of small talk.
he said that this. He said to the producer. He mentioned, you know, a celebrity. How do they, you know, retire or, you know, they lose their anonymity. So they're always a celebrity and how that could be a problem. You won't be able to go anywhere. And he said that the producer told him that what they do is they got to figure out that once their shelf life has expired or for whatever reason, they'll fake their death and they'll say they cremate them. And that way there's no problem with finding the bodies. Well, at the time, I just kind of noted it. Didn't think much of it. But then, if you remember Robin Williams?
Yeah.
They said that he died hanging himself on a door handle.
Exactly.
Well, yeah, okay, so
How can you do that? It's impossible to hang yourself from a doorknob.
Must have been a door handle for giants.
Exactly. And then a friend of mine said, someone told me when we were talking about him dying, he said, well, you know, he wasn't popular anymore. He has three movies coming out, and he has bit parts. And that's what that producer said, that, you know, your shelf life expires, and then you just aren't needed anymore. And here this guy wasn't popular. And lo and behold, it was like Elvis Presley. It was either the next day or two days later.
Yeah. I was going to say Elvis.
I turned on the news in the morning, I had my morning coffee, and they showed the San Francisco Bay, and they said that they threw the cremated ashes of Robin Williams in the bay.
Right.
And I thought, that's pretty quick. You know, they only think they had an autopsy. But it fit the template that Miles Mathis talked about.
I agree with Miles on a lot of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, I like Miles.
We disagree on Dresden, but we disagree on World War II, but I like his breakdowns on a lot of stuff.
Yeah. And actually, you brought up Elvis. I'd like to request Phil look into Elvis if he could, because that one is, I don't know if there's much imagery out there for Phil to really to tackle, but I was listening to the Hoaxbusters show with Jim Rizzoli, and he had a couple good callers on there, and they went back and forth on Elvis, and I actually clipped that and put it on FakoTube because I was thinking, I don't hear much conspiracy talk about Elvis. And I'm a big Elvis fan. I mean, I went all the way to Graceland last year. I tried once in the spring and got turned around at the border. And we went back in the fall. And I don't really care about Graceland that much, but I just sort of did it as a tribute and wanted to see what it was all about. And I'm telling you, there's no doubt in my mind he faked his death. No doubt. And everything you're saying, he was on the way out. You know, music does fade. People get tired of it. But, man, he made more money dead than alive. And that was his biggest complaint. He could not go anywhere. He had to be put in the trunk of his car to go get a hamburger. And I think that can get really difficult way to live. It is not a way to live.
Mm-hmm.
And
You know, with Elvis, the next day by noon, they had him on a beer inside his Graceland house. It wasn't even within 24 hours. Something like on display. What do you call it? Viewing.
Oh, okay. Somebody was saying in the talk that the coffin is 1,000 pounds. That's because Elvis was fascinated with wax museums. They said it was a wax replica of Elvis, and they had an air conditioner in the coffin.
Oh, wow.
Who knows? That's a quick turnaround, though.
Yeah, and he said his family didn't even show up for the funeral. I think he died on a Friday and was on the funerals on a Monday. So, yeah, we need more conspiracy researchers doing Elvis, because that's a big one.
Yeah, it was probably true that he did fake his death, yeah.
Well, even the story was cuckoo. They said a lot of people said he died from a drug overdose, because he said he was popping pills with his personal pharmacist, but then I heard another story, died on the toilet, so who knows?
Yeah, I think they throw that stuff in there, just, you know, the salacious details to disarm your critical thinking. Yeah. Well, that was all I had. I just wanted to mention that Miles Mathis, you know, years ago, and I think that's an interesting phenomenon, the faking of the death, because, you know, like with Robin Williams, he's an actor, he says, all he's got to do is walk around out somewhere, and if they say anything to him, he says, yeah, I get a lot of that, you know.
Exactly. You just put a mustache on, put a hat, put sunglasses on, you're good to go. And you just tell people, how could I be Robin Williams? He died years ago. Get lost.
Yeah.
That would work pretty good. I agree. Yeah. Plus I heard he stole jokes from everybody, so he was not liked.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, that's all I have. Let you guys go.
All right, if you find Miles Mathis piece, send it to me, and I'll put it in the show notes.
Okay, it was a long time ago. I'll see if I can dig it up, though.
Yeah, dig it up and shoot it to me. I'm at fakeologist.com. Just send it to me. Everyone You know, when people bring up things, people like to hear, they like to look for themselves. So
yeah, actually, look at sure.
Yeah. All right. Take care. You got any more questions for Fake Nukes or any specific questions for Fake Nukes? That is.
Well, he mentioned the Casey Anthony trial.
Yeah.
What's his take on that? Because that's something that was really over the top. And, you know, why do they do something like that? I'd like to hear if you elaborate on that some more.
All right.
Yeah, I think that went on for like 8 years. I think Nancy Grace had her top story. It was an insanely crazy long amount of time. And they just had us distracted on this soap opera about Casey Anthony and her family and how she, you know, it had to have been fake. See, they distract us with these fake trials and we don't see the real stuff that's going on. See, I believe that people are getting murdered and people are getting offed, but we never hear about it. I mean, the stuff we hear about is all to distract us and to divert from what's really happening. Even the pedophile stuff, you know, we hear all this pedophile stuff that Jeffrey Epstein, they won't tell us the real names of the people that are doing this stuff. I'm sure it's going on.
Well, those are the people they're blackmailing. So they're probably the people in power. I don't think you're allowed to get in power unless you give them something, give them security.
Yeah.
And security is, you know, a tape of you and a goat or a young child or just something so egregious that you would probably go to jail or your reputation would be just fall to the floor forever. I think you have to give them some security myself.
Yeah, that's probably true. I mean, because all these people, there's not a single one of them that are good. You know, people get bummed out. I say there's not a single one in Washington that's good. And
or if there is one guy, then he doesn't get on any committees. It's just like in football. He doesn't get picked. He doesn't go to the parties.
Exactly.
He's out of the power. You can exclude. I think there are genuine lone wolves, but they don't get anywhere.
Yeah.
They don't get the votes. They don't get the committees. They don't get reelected for sure.
Yeah.
They don't get the money and they just fade away. And I think, I think there's a couple genuine ones, maybe that get like Cynthia McKinnon. Wasn't she run out of town? Traficante.
Oh, yeah, in Georgia.
Traficante in Ohio.
Yep.
I think there's a couple, but out of all the congressmen and the senators, I think you can count them on one hand.
Yeah.
Yeah, like historically, Huey Long seemed to be kind of like that. A lot of people don't know anything about him.
Mm-hmm. I never heard of him.
He was a populist Louisiana governor, but you know, like a populist kind of guy. But that's that story, you know. He just got to Washington. You never hear about him, you know, because they control the ideas or the alternatives. You know, definition of the alternative, supreme instrument of power. People just don't make it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks, Willard, for calling. We're gonna check out Phil's channel.
Okay.
Well, we're already halfway through the show, so we really should talk about all the stuff Phil's talking about because he's got about 50 videos from the last 7 days.
All right. Thanks, Willard. Well, right, to be fair, their short videos are like some are 20 seconds long.
Yeah.
But it gets the point across. It's like this, what you're looking at is an impossible scenario. These doctors that are fake crying. The videos you have up right there, I followed this journalist, Uma.
Looks like Uma Thurman.
Yeah, kind of.
Is that why? Where she get her name there?
Yeah, whenever she's in Gaza, she's always the lucky reporter that always is on site when a building gets struck by a missile. And she does her reports, and the building's always over her left shoulder. And you see it on camera getting struck by a missile over her left shoulder. It's like, how did you know that building was going to get struck? It's because, you know, she's in on it, you know. And this Palestine tower here in Gaza, that was on the first day of the war. That was October 7th. And this is like 9/11. They collapsed these two towers at the same time. It's like 9/11 and with fake missiles that they added into the film. other cameras, other cameras don't record the missiles. And so only on the NBC camera and the other mainstream news, you see, there's where the missile strikes on the roof and it just happened over her left shoulder. And
that is theater, man.
And they lit off that little explosion there on the roof. And that's their excuse why all the cameras in the city turned towards that building, because we have multiple camera angles of this building collapsing. And so they had to explain it by saying, well, because it had been struck by a small missile. And then so everybody turned their cameras towards it. And, oh, okay. No, it's more like it's a media event. And that's why you needed all these cameras on it.
And but is there any chance that she's just in a studio and that's a green screen?
Well, it could be, but I went through the demolition footage of all the cameras that caught it. And it looks like a real controlled demolition. I mean, just like 9/11, that's her in Gaza in 2021. And over her left shoulder, there's going to be a building that gets struck by a missile. Yeah, she's always the lucky reporter.
Excellent timing. Excellent timing. Yeah. Like those idiots that were doing the 9/11 or the fireman movie. And just so happens they caught the plane hitting the building. What luck.
Yeah. Yeah, so this was very much like 9/11 and so many elements. And that's why Netanyahu said October 7th was Israel's 9/11, is because they did a freaking Twin Tower collapse with controlled demolition. And yeah, it was like 9/11. And the people running in the street, just like in Manhattan. And so, yeah, it looked very 9/11-y.
Yeah, I agree with you there.
And so they're just mocking us at this point, because the Jews did do 9/11. But the question is, they're doing it the same way they're doing Gaza. They're faking it. You know, 9/11 was a Hollywood illusion, and this Gaza thing is a Hollywood illusion. They're destroying real buildings, but they're old, and they need to be rebuilt anyway. And nobody's inside them, okay?
Right, I agree.
And, so it's just a stunt.
I posted on FakoTube. I do listen and sometimes post fairly mainstream stuff because I do want some business background, because I think everything's a business. It's all money. And this guy here, Professor Michael Hudson, he's not a fakeologist, so don't get me wrong, but I thought he gave some pretty good background of the business end of Gaza and why they want it. And they're building a huge, I don't know if they're building a deep sea port in Gaza, but they are building a huge pier. I don't know if it's for, he said it's for the yachts that'll be for all the rich people when they rebuild Gaza into a resort town, like a high-end resort. But who knows what it's for. But I've heard many things, like there's oil, there's gas, and Gaza is in the way of all those things. And they're going to create a Silk Road for India that wants to go through Saudi Arabia, through Gaza to the Mediterranean. I mean, Gaza is in the way. Let's put it that way. And he also said the other thing that was interesting is all the people that were in Gaza, they already had a digital prison set up for them. Gaza was divided into, I think he said, 15 zones, and you needed to scan to get in and out of the zones. You were already in your cell block in Gaza. Not to mention you needed the digital card or digital pass to get out of Gaza to go work in Israel. So all those people were tightly controlled. And he said the whole thing is the people that won't leave, we're just going to make their life so full of friction that they're going to want to leave. So I don't really think there were that many people to move out of there. And I think they're all out of there now anyway.
Yeah. You know, it's a movie studio. That's why you need a pass to enter different parts of the set.
Yeah.
Just like when you go to Hollywood, you're going to need a special credential to go into the special effects room. I mean, they just don't let anybody go in there.
Yeah.
And as Gaza is simply a Hollywood studio is what it is.
Yeah.
And
I think they're dragging this out to make it seem like this is a long war, but I think there is no war, and they're just flattening Gaza right now for construction purposes.
Yeah. It's going to be, here's my prediction. They're going to make Gaza into a very, a rich coastal town, like what you said.
Yeah.
They're not going to strip the oil or make it toxic. No, they're going to. It's a very nice stretch of beach there on the Mediterranean. Best. They're going to That's why they're doing so much controlled demolitions along the shoreline. Is because, I mean, Hamas isn't at the shoreline. That's the opposite direction where they would be. They would be at the border attacking Israel, right? But the reason why they're doing it at the shore, because that's the most expensive real estate in Gaza. They're going to rebuild it all modern with lots of parking, lots of ports, lots of shopping and everything. And it's
the only part of Israel, is it not? It's the only part that they don't have the beach. As far as I can see here, this is all Israel up the coast here.
Mm-hmm.
There are no Palestinians all the way to Haifa. Where does Israel end here? I don't even know, right here. And this is Lebanon here.
Yeah.
So this is the last part. This isn't that much land. This is 1 inch is only 12 miles. So what is that? 12 miles, 24, 36, 48. You know, this is not a huge piece of coast here. So for them to go whatever their coastline is and add this section, this represents maybe a fifth more. So they need this. So this is a very small area. And I think they're just moving the Gazanians right out of Israel or over here to the West Bank, which is another prison camp they've got over here.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The West Bank of the Dead Sea, I guess.
Yeah, I'm not sure how much of an open-air prison Gaza has ever been. That's been a whole bunch of propaganda that we've been hearing.
Yeah.
I've seen videos where people are really happy over there in Gaza, and they're doing tourism videos saying, come visit Gaza. And they've got universities, two of them in Gaza, and they're always advertising for new students.
They left the universities intact, but you know, these people, these aren't exactly lovely drapes that they got here on these buildings in Gaza.
Those buildings are the type of buildings that get struck by a missile.
Yeah,
because they're an eyesore.
They're not the best construction.
and they get to rebuild Gaza really nice. And
yeah, this is what they've got here. I mean, I don't know who's. I just don't. I think they have starved the Gaza area for the last 20 years. I think nothing much has happened. I don't know what this is. A set of greenhouses, or these might be refugee camps right here.
They would be too hot. Those look like greenhouses.
Yeah, but I think things have just been paralyzed in Gaza, and it's just they just want to bring it up to Israeli standards, and the only way they can do that is to get rid of all the Palestinians. That's my take on it. I mean, this thing is under construction, but I know that if they don't have money, this looks like it's under permanent construction and it's stopped kind of thing. I'm just doing Google Earth here. Anyone can do this. This is from September 2022. You know how when they run out of money, the construction just stops, mm-hmm. and this is what you get?
Mm-hmm. I think most of the Palestinians are very friendly with the Israelis. I think they've got a good business partnership going on, and they are in a mutual benefit. We just sent another aid package to Israel that's going to be, and also to Gaza. And right, that alone is the motive for this theater they're doing over there. It's a huge moneymaker, and we never get to vote on it. It just immediately gets passed by Congress, and the money goes immediately over there. It's just a total theft, and based on a total lie. Yeah. And
you can see how this beach needs developing. Look at this.
Yeah. See, that could be a nice place if you.
This is going to have 50-story Miami-style condos in the next 20 years. The whole place is just totally underdeveloped, and look at this, just sort of pieces of an old pier sitting in the middle of the ocean there on the beach. This is, I mean, I know this is supposedly from January 2019, but I think this whole area has been paralyzed for the last 20 years from any kind of development. So they just said, you know what? We need this place. Let's get her going here. You can see if they're going to build a canal here, it's going to go right up this line, right to Gaza. You can see that, right?
Mm.
Gulf of Aqaba.
Well, they've already got the Suez Canal.
Well, that's the whole point. They don't want to deal with the Egyptians anymore.
Oh.
Well, I've heard they want to they own, Israel goes right down to the Gulf of Aqaba, you see? Mm-hmm. So they got this little slice here, and they can just bulldoze a canal right up to the Mediterranean and cut it, Egypt out. So I think it's always money. So
yeah. Well, I'm going to say that's not going to happen. Like I said, my hunch is that Gaza is going to be built up, going to be really nice, a playground for rich people. And they're going to move a lot of Arabs into Europe again. They're going to do the Alan Kurdi hoax again. And Alan Kurdi was a rubber baby also.
Oh, really?
Which, the little Syrian boy that washed ashore on a Turkey beach in 2015, and it created this big sympathy for the Arabs, and the Europeans were forced to bring in all these Arabs because you're forcing them little boys to drown in the Mediterranean. You got to take more refugees. And it was a big, huge. And so they're using the rubber babies again in Gaza to send more immigrants into Europe. So, and they'll get a new Gaza Strip out of it as well. Here's a boy with some obvious makeup on that they can't get the makeup off.
He looks like he's getting irritated, you know. This Hollywood, yeah. It's not all it's cracked up to be, you know. Yeah.
Why are these adults using me as a stage prop? You know, and he's realizing now he's been born into a... This girl waves at the camera as she's being rescued. See, she waves. Yeah, you know, it's supposedly a building just collapsed on her. But as you can see, she doesn't have a single injury.
No.
They're staging a whole bunch of these rescues. Yeah, all of them are staged.
We don't even know where they could be in Germany in a studio.
Yeah, probably, exactly. You know? That could be anywhere. But we do know one thing. It's staged. And so these kids aren't traumatized. They got a little gray dust in their hair.
They got the water bottle, you know.
They got the water bottle.
Like any other set, you know.
Yeah.
I'm just waiting for them to accidentally show that lights, camera, action board, you know, the one they snap.
Yeah. Well, it's different in Pallywood. That's Hollywood. Pallywood, they do it differently. They do a praise to Allah, and then they roll the cameras. And here's these mothers that are holding the corpse of their dead child, and they can't seem to, you would be inconsolable, but none of these mothers are crying. She's holding the corpse of her dead child right there. And look how dry her face is. Look, she's just talking in a normal manner. Saying her dead child is in her arm right there.
And it said she attempted to return to northern Gaza. From where?
Yeah, southern Gaza, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
And again, there's nothing. This is not a big area. This is a very small area. And like I said, these people were already restricted. Their movement has been restricted for 20 years.
Yeah. Here, this boy goes into this controlled demolition building, and they put little pages of the Quran around. And so he's picking up these little pages of the Quran, and it's supposed to pull on your heartstrings of what a pious people these are. Oh, they're so religious. They're so into their faith. It's like they're pulling a hustle here, and they're using children to they put those pages of the Quran, and just they scattered them in the rubble right there, you know. And this is just a stunt. I don't see any piousness in this at all.
I don't think you let your child play around in an area with unstable concrete.
Yeah.
That doesn't seem like a great idea.
Yeah. No.
And where's his phone? We know children that age are all carrying around a phone.
All these kids in Gaza. Here's the 25th anniversary of Columbine. You'll see that Kamala Harris had Heather Martin is a Columbine survivor.
Yeah, all the great hoaxes of this week in April they didn't get a lot of coverage, did they?
Yeah, you know, they did Waco on Hitler's birthday. They did Columbine on Hitler's birthday.
1 minute, 51 seconds.
Well, we got John the Beggar.
Oh, John the Beggar.
Hi. How you doing, Phil? How you doing, fake audience?
Good. Great. Good, John. Good.
What you got for us?
I think that canal will be built. I think it definitely will be built. And another thing, too, you talked about the different people in the Congress that were Jim Trafficante, he went out a long time ago. He passed away. Dennis Kucinich wasn't too bad.
Right.
And Cynthia McKinney from Georgia.
McKinney, yeah.
And there is one, person left, Marcy Kapur, out of Toledo, Ohio. And she's a pretty good representative. Last time they had a vote, not this time, she got up and she was the only one in for a joint session of Congress and said, wait a minute, there's no spending oversight on this bill. And they told her to sit down, shut up, and pass the bill. And she did.
Yeah, well, no doubt.
Yeah, it's just a theater there right now. I have no doubt. They'll probably always leave some Palestinians there because they can always then have little rebellions and they can say, see, near this mosque or this historic church, there's some Palestinians still living there. And, you know, they're good for tourism, too.
Yeah, maybe. Boris says, how do you know the videos are not made by Israeli propaganda makers? Well, yeah, I think it's the same propaganda makers, American, British on both sides, CENTCOM. From Qatar. I think it's one big business.
Well, we would hear complaints from the Palestinians. We know the Palestinians have plenty of internet access.
Yeah.
I mean, that alone is out. Why is Israel allowing Gaza to have internet? They are releasing thousands of videos to their heart's content. Israel would never allow that,
no.
But they are, because they want you to see this stuff, because Israel's in on it with them.
Part of the operation.
And the Palestinians would be saying in one of their videos, hey, these Israelis are faking with these rubber babies over here. Or they're sending actors to do fake cries. But none of the Palestinians are saying that. And they have plenty of internet. And so why aren't we hearing that?
So why are they quiet?
Because they're in on it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I agree with you because I've seen videos from before the alleged incident, and the people looked like they were just living a pretty normal life there.
Exactly.
But now they're in the way. Boris says Gaza is surrounded and isolated. They can't develop. But yeah, I agree. So that's why now they have to get out. Now they're in the way. Out, out, out.
They might pay them money to leave too.
Yeah,
I think they're already in Dubai.
Palestinians?
Yes. That was a post I put on fakeologist.com. It's a whole French blog. I've never seen that theory. It's a pretty good one. They moved them during the World Cup because there's so many millions of people passing through the area. You wouldn't notice a mass exodus at that time. That was 2019.
So they moved a ton of them over there to Dubai.
That's what I've heard. And
probably to be the working class there.
Well, yeah, Dubai is a booming area for sure, and there are videos showing how it was pretty empty before 2019. Now it's busy. Where'd everyone come from?
It could have been done because they've got a direct line from there.
Indians built Dubai. You can't get citizenship in Dubai, from what I understand. The Indians built all the buildings, and then they were sent home when they were done. So,
yeah, I heard that too, because they had some terrible safety records.
No safety
buildings, none at all.
Just fall off the side of the building and ship another one over.
Yep, ship another one over. That's what I heard.
Yeah, I heard that too. So anyway, I think they're over there, Phil.
I don't know. I think it's a one-way street into Europe. They send all these refugees into Europe.
Mm-hmm.
The war is against Europe.
Well, what about Detroit? I mean, John, you're in that area, so there's tons of Arabs over there.
They're over there, but most of them aren't Palestinians.
They're
most
Syrians,
of them are Lebanese,
or Syrian,
or Syrians too. Yeah, but there's Lebanese, and there's a sizable Christian population over there. About 40% of the Arabs, I'd say, are Christians.
Yeah, when I was on the beach in Michigan on the Lake Huron side about 6 years ago, they were all Arabs on the beach. That was a long time ago, and they all smoke too.
There's a lot of smoking, I have to say that.
They love to smoke the hookah pipes, the cigarettes.
Oh, yeah. That's a problem they have.
Well, they love it.
I think that canal will get built.
Yeah.
And I think that they're going to develop the waterfront, but they're still going to need people to work in those hotels. The Palestinians may be working in them.
They're gonna be there. They're keeping them happy. They're getting a big chunk of the pie of the $1 billion aid packages.
$8 billion was supposed to go to Hamas, which I thought was laughable. You know, this is this terrorist organization supposedly.
Yeah, they're just mocking us. They're just laughing in our faces.
All right, John. Anything else?
No, I just wanted to say hi to you guys and let that comment be known. And thanks for putting on the show.
Thank you, John.
Yeah, thanks, John.
All right.
Good night.
Good night.
Yeah, good night.
We got Dave J on the line, your old buddy.
Minute, oh, Dave J.
2 seconds.
Dave J. Dave J, get your phone in order, man.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Go ahead, Dave J.
Oh, yeah. So I was going to tell you.
Do you have any good news?
You guys, if you wanted to. Great news, yeah. If you go to YouTube and you look up Gaza or any of that area down there and just look for walking tours.
Okay.
And you'll find some. Yeah, you'll find some videos. And what it's almost like going to Disneyland on corporate night, meaning that you can look around. There's no crowds. And then you look at the idea of like the storefronts. And you'll see that they're almost false facades on top of buildings that you can see in the back, which are different construction.
Potemkin villages.
That's kind of a lot of it is set up. You just take your.
This
do the
one
walking
here?
Tours. A lot of them have no talking.
Yeah, it looks kind of run down.
Anyways.
Even the telephone poles are leaning over.
Yeah, so if you go to the YouTube, just look up walking tours.
That's what I'm on now.
If you really want to know. Yeah, you know, it's all just garbage. It's all nonsense.
Hold on.
And so then anyways.
Wait. What's garbage? What are you saying?
That there's a war going on. Nobody got hurt. There is no war. You know that, right?
It does look like. Yeah, thanks, Dave. It does look like a pretty shoddily built place when you look at this. It's not up to Western standards. Let's put it that it makes Tent City and Venice Beach look beautiful.
It looks like a bad section of LA.
Think of the amount of people. I'm sorry. Yeah, I was just saying, just think of the amount of people they claim to be there. Go ahead on those little walking tours and you'll see that it doesn't add up. It's obviously they're going to clear that area out. I heard what you guys were talking about. I would add a different explanation for why they're clearing that area.
Go ahead.
It deals with the final Battle of Armageddon. So you kind of need a certain area set up.
Yeah.
The stage needs to be set in that area. And old Palestinian rattle shack buildings don't need to go away so they can set the stage for the next hoax on top of the next hoax on top of the next hoax.
Well, Dave,
so I
think they can do all that in sound stages. I think this is just prime real estate, and they need it.
That's exactly what I'm talking about, though. No. I told you before what was going on with all this so-called armaments being sent over to Russia and Ukraine. All of that is going to be used as just a big stage for the so-called Battle of Armageddon.
Yeah.
And they're going to show you just these tanks and all this garbage getting blown up. It's literally just a quip. There's going to be nobody dying or getting hurt. But it's going to be, let's just say when you're going to put on a grand play, it's going to be one of those grand plays. So it's going to be very hard for people to discern, even those right now that know that war is a hoax. It's going to be so, let's just say, so much equipment being blown up, even those people will be rattled.
Yeah.
And that they'll start to fall. Okay, well, maybe this one's real. No. Just remember, equipment doesn't equal a life. It's just and once you destroy equipment, that's jobs, that's production. You get to then make it all again, or the next version of it.
Yeah.
So it's, you're always creating an economy from expenditure. All right.
Yeah.
So
that's a pretty good tip,
course,
though.
The walking tour,
I like that. And it really does.
It is,
and it really is kind of a. Well, maybe that's a rougher area, but it just has a chaotic feel to the whole town. This one looks a little better than the last one, this area, but still, you can see how
there's a lot of them on there.
Yeah.
And so I've gone to all different kinds of cities whenever they're pulling different hosts. I'll see if I can find a walking tour of that part of whatever country they're talking about, and I'll just use that to walk around. That's why I like Toby's videos where he's doing the little city walk.
Yeah.
Because you actually get to, I want to see the building. So then if they use it in a hoax or whatever, you're like, okay, I know that corner. I've already seen
I love the wires everywhere. Just the spaghetti bowls of wires. That's got to be pretty unsafe, the way they, the rat's nests of wiring junctions of high tension leads there. So. All right, Dave. Thanks.
If you go to the Philippines and places like that, you're going to see that same type of. That's almost more like a third world type of.
Yeah.
I'll tell you. Anyways, cheers, guys. Hey, Phil, talk to you later.
Yeah, cheers. Dave.
Oh, just so you know. Anyways, cheers.
All right, cheers.
You got to get that Dresden in there. I like that. Have you seen these videos, Phil?
I've seen the tourism videos. I haven't seen the walk around videos like this. The tourism videos show the nicer parts of Gaza.
Right.
And, you know, the universities, the shoreline, the boardwalk area. This is, looks like downtown L.A., you know. This.
It has a bizarre feel to it, as in.
I mean, they got lots of stuff selling. I mean, there's no shortage of anything.
Yeah.
And, you know, and people say it's an open-air prison. Well, these people.
They don't look like they live in cells, yeah.
And they don't look like they live in prison cells. Yeah, no, that it's not an open air. We've been lied to about everything about Gaza, and it's a movie. These people.
It's a movie set.
It's a movie set.
I wonder if all those areas are going to get demolished, though, because this time it doesn't seem like anyone's getting back in.
Well, we'll see. I think. They're going to let them back in. I think they're going to be sending a lot of, it creates Arab sympathy. And so lots of Arabs, even though they're not Palestinian, they go into Europe because of events like this. And it.
On the let's finish up on your chat with Jim. I always make sure I watch your show with Jim. Always bring up good stuff. That it's fun to listen to Jim for the first time, realize all these hoaxes and events you're bringing up.
Yeah, and he lets me talk pretty freely, and so, you know, I like Jim.
I like the JFK talk. I like the JFK talk, because that always brings up a lot of stuff that I guess he's never heard of.
Yeah, well, a lot of his trolls that go into his. No, this is my version. If you go into Jim Rizzoli's channel, you'll see a whole bunch of that. You'll see a whole bunch of nasty comments. I get the friendly guys over on my channel.
Have you banned a lot of these suckers?
No.
Give you a hard time? No?
No, I banned Grossman because he was just cussing all the time. And and some people just resort to cussing all the time, and it's like they get banned, you know. It's like, I'm not going to go, if you're just going to throw foul language around.
Yeah, it's not. It's just ignorant.
You're not adding to the discourse. Here's a Scotty guy. He just really hates me. He might be a real guy. I don't know if he's a troll or not.
Well, he should call in and
I mean,
stand his ground.
Yeah. He muted me, though. But, yeah, he could. I tell him, you can just find me some photos to prove me wrong. I don't have to find you any photos. You're just lying. It's like, well, I need to see some photos that convince me otherwise. And, you know, he's
now Moon Landing 2222 is normally a fairly reasonable guy, but he does challenge you as well.
Yeah. He gets nasty a little bit. Oh, he just makes fun of me because I say everything's fake. It's like, well, I don't say everything's fake, but most of it is. I mean, we have a media that is not our friend. It is a Soviet media. And what you expect from the Soviets is constant brainwashing 24 hours a day, and that's what our media is doing to us. And so,
but you know, the when you bring up the Kennedy thing, that is an endless, and I mean endless, rabbit hole to go down.
There are
so many connections. Phil, did you know that Lillian Carter, Jimmy's mother, worked for old man Joe Kennedy in Hyannis, Massachusetts? That's pretty good.
Yeah, I thought that was a good point.
That is a good connection.
I commended him on his point there. I said, but we're still going to be, if they ever do have a funeral for Jimmy Carter, but the guy just seems to keep living forever. Okay, even in hospice, even hospice can't kill him. Okay, and so if they ever do have a funeral for Jimmy Carter, we're going to be paying close attention to see how many Kennedys are there, and this will be their excuse. Well, it's because his mother had a secret love affair with the Kennedy, and that's why there's so many Kennedys there. And I'm going to say, no, the reason why there's so many Kennedys there is because this guy is JFK's new identity, or at least for part of the time.
Oh, and here he says, Costa Rica now. That did it for me. You knock Bill Cooper. You out, buddy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I think Bill Cooper he said he was naval intelligence, and I think that was staged as well, for sure.
Oh, yeah, I used to listen to Bill Cooper, but that was before I became what they say, Jew aware. Yeah, once I became, understood what really happened in World War II, well, then I understood who Bill Cooper was.
I like Bill Cooper. He's not my hero. I just thought he was the only guy talking back in the 90s or 80s.
Yeah.
There's no one else to listen to. I know there's Jim Mars maybe, but I thought Bill Cooper gave some of the best stuff, but no.
Yeah, he did. And there are still many Bill Coopers in different names talking right now who are getting good audiences. But they don't, they only take you part of the way. They're gatekeepers.
Oh, for sure.
And
there was nobody else. He had no competition. That's why I just find it interesting to listen to it.
Yeah. I used to listen to that one. God, I can't remember his name now. Kevin Steele, I think. He was a retired FBI agent or something. I used to think that he, used to think that he was cutting edge. He did, before I became Jew aware, he did give me my first question mark about 9/11. He said, one of his audience members said, was 9/11 staged? And he goes, well, Building 7 didn't get hit by an airplane, and Building 7 collapsed. And so you need to research more into that. And that's what he said. And then he turned and he ended his lecture. And so that sparked the first light bulb about 9/11 for me. But once I became Jew aware, I learned that he was also another gatekeeper, because he never mentioned anything about World War II. In fact, he said that the correct people won the war. And it's like, well, that's where you're wrong. I mean, if the correct people won the war, then we wouldn't have a media we couldn't trust. I mean, I would say to him, it's like, if the correct people won the war, then how do you explain the fact that our media lies to us on a daily basis? About big things. And so, yeah,
you don't really get any good comments on here. They're just ad hominem attacks. So,
yeah,
I do appreciate when some people put good links, but other than that, you just get attacks. So that's how you know that you're flying over the target, as far as I know.
Yeah. With my experience. Yeah. I know how the personal attacks are always because they're a troll. And they are trying to get a reaction out of me.
Yeah, they really don't have anything at all.
Yeah.
Really, I'm just reading through the comments. But nothing. Jim, this guy is a loon. He undermines Well, Jim does a pretty good job defending you, so.
Yeah, well, Jim's a grown adult. He can make his own decision as who he wants to invite on the show. It's like, so they just call names. And
all right, we've been going about an hour. Do you have any final thoughts, comments, or videos that we should look at on your channel?
Just all of them are good. I've been on the Gaza thing, and I don't know. A lot of people are getting bored of the Gaza thing, but like I said before, I feel this is a chance to do real world application of our doctrine, of our research, because we can bring real changes perhaps into the real world, and we can stand on a on the list of accomplishments. I mean, we single-handedly have cleaned up all the nuclear sites in the entire planet. You can go to Chernobyl and breathe in a deep breath of air, all because of us, because we proved that nukes are fake, right? You can go to Nevada Proving Grounds. You can just breathe in a deep lung of breath. And you can go to Three Mile Island and breathe in all the air. And it's Fukushima. You can just breathe it in. So, you know, that's a pretty good accomplishment for our humble laptops and our...
I think it's great. Did you cover the 15th guy lighting himself on fire this week?
No, I didn't cover that, but that was very... I was going to, but Henry broke it down pretty good. And
oh, did he?
Yeah. Okay. They got video of them loading him onto a stretcher, and it's not a burn victim. He wouldn't be positioned that way.
See, what's Henry's channel?
From death to life two.
Okay, hold on. Let's
from
type
death
that
to
in.
Life.
Bitshoot.com from
death to life.
Death to life. Okay.
Two with a number two.
Yeah, here we go. Is this the right one? No, that's not the right one. Oh, does he have another channel?
No. Make sure when you say from death to life, put the number two as the two.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, okay.
Okay, let me just try one more time here. From death to life. I'll try and do a pre-search on that. Let's see what we got here.
These self-immolation videos look very real. And so we've reached a point to where these people can make these things look very real.
Yeah.
We have to use our discernment, and, you know, they're using Hollywood tricks, and it's just impossible that somebody would light themselves on fire for Donald Trump. I mean, nobody's going to do that. I mean, nobody loves the guy this much that they're going to come on. And, oh, they said that he was like a conspiracy theorist
and he had a manifesto
He wrote the manifesto he lived for one day after this happened. And while he was in the hospital, he wrote, I think, a final note. I don't think it was a full manifesto, but he wrote it while he was recovering from these massive burns. And then he died like the next day. It's like, there's no way that would happen. And
did Henry actually talk during this video and explain? I didn't see him get carted away. Is there another video?
Yeah,
please.
It's down
there's
below.
There's a guy lighting himself on.
Okay, yeah. Let me look. I want to see where he was carted away, because this is the last one.
Yeah, so scroll down.
Oh, it's okay.
And let's see. So I think it might be a little farther down. Yeah, wait. So what's that? These are.
I don't even. Okay, here we go. New York Trump trial, Burning Man, really?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. So here's where he's getting loaded on the stretcher.
Okay, wow. Interesting.
See, and it doesn't... You see, that's him, and his arms are sticking up.
They're burned in place?
Yeah, I guess they're burned in place. So he replays it here. Yeah. So, yeah, it just doesn't look right, you know. Doesn't.
You remember this guy that set himself in a blaze? Well, he passed away last night.
Oh, and he was after these people.
Oh, and by the way, he wrote this after he was set on a blaze when he was in the hospital.
Okay, script keeper. I like that. Okay, I'm going to watch that. That's good.
Yeah, he wrote that whole entire page there while he was in excruciating pain after all those burns.
Wow, I thought he wrote it before he set himself on fire.
No, okay. He wrote it after. I know, it's just impossible.
Yeah. He wouldn't even know where he was.
Exactly.
He was. And most severe burn victims would not survive for any length of time. They'd be dead on the spot. Okay, yeah. Well, there's another good news story. Do you have any bad news, or is this all good news?
Yeah, all good news. It's all stunts.
It's good news, as Dave J says. Yeah, I posted a video of how they do it. Just three layers of gel and wet suits and gel suits and all that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was on YouTube. So the stunt is doable.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's pretty good. Thank you, Phil. I appreciate it. And you'll be back on Jim's show on Friday. And you will be, you got your own other show you do on Sundays.
Yeah.
And Any other shows? Gemma, how's Gemma doing?
I don't know, Gemma. Gemma's mad at me because I didn't cover the Aaron Brady story.
Oh, okay.
I took a look at it, and it just looked fake as hell to me.
Oh, well.
I said, Gemma, you can't see this is fake as hell.
Well, she should know better than ask fake Nuke Phil.
I know, and she's had lengthy conversations with me. She knew how I was going to react. I was going to ask just to see the dead body. They didn't take any photographs of the dead policeman. Okay, so that's a problem. They didn't show them to the jury. Okay, so that's a problem. And
yeah. Hey, do you think you could look into a little bit of Elvis in your spare time? Because that is one of my favorite topics.
I'll try. Yeah, I'll see what I can find.
Phil@fakeologist.com. Send him an email if you got any tips, tricks, websites. Phil does his own research, but when we get people sending us content, it really speeds things along. So there's a lot of people out there with just one or two pieces of information. And Phil is really good at throwing him into a video. So just email him, Phil@fakeologist.com, or go to his BitChute and leave a comment there or send it to me and I'll forward it. But either way, it's always good to go back in history and look at these old ones because they haven't been solved.
Yeah. There's still. Yeah, I find the old ones interesting also. It gives us a good roadmap. And that's why I can't believe that people think that JFK was, you see, because we've broken down so many of these events, we can now see that the JFK had the same elements as all these others. And so the people that just haven't studied all these other events, the ones that keep holding on to the fact that JFK was real, it was the one real one. It's like, no, that it was not the one real, because Martin Luther King also faked his death. And all those people, George Lincoln Rockwell faked his assassination. All these people were faking their assassinations back in those days. It was just like,
it's just a business model. It's the way you did things.
Yeah. Yeah. And so
are we going to get I've heard guys predicting Trump fake assassination for the last 4 years.
Well, I wouldn't doubt it. You know, there's just been so many.
Right.
I wouldn't doubt it.
And they've been talking about it endlessly too.
Yeah.
So they have prepared people for that, if necessary.
Or it might be a Joe Biden fake assassination. Who knows?
Yeah.
Either way.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter. They're two old 80-year-olds, for God's sakes. I mean, even if they didn't leave early, I mean, who wants to be president in their 80s? Are you kidding me? Come on. Barely have enough energy to pull up your socks.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting, I guess, how this soap opera turns out, but
well, it is a soap opera, that's for damn sure.
Yeah.
And it's fake.
Exactly.
All right, Fake. Thanks a lot. Have a great rest of the week. We'll catch you next Wednesday.
Yeah.
More Fake.
Looking forward to it.
All right. Take care.
Yeah, you as well.
Okay. All the best. Bye. There goes Fake Nukes Phil. And it is a beautiful world. He works hard. He has a regular job, so he's probably tired like me at the end of the day. So make sure you support Phil with emails and comments and share his channel, bitchute.com/fakenukes. And don't forget, we are value for value. You pay whatever you think this show is worth. We have quite a few people who think it's worth a few bucks here and there. So thank you for the monthly donors. And the one-time donors, they're all at fakeologist.com/donate/donors. Thank you so much. Benoit, Christine, Priscilla, LSP, Cheryl, Dookiefoot, Peggy, our monthly donors, Mark Tokarski, Gibby, Kirby Sexrat Lady, Andy, Greg, Ezza. Thanks all you guys. Thanks to the callers, Dave J. Thank you to John the Beggar. Thanks, Fake Nukes, for showing up every week. And thank you for tuning in regularly. We had a big crowd tonight, 40 or 50 or 60 people. Thanks for showing up. Thanks for the chat. Always like the chat. Kate, Emma, Boris, Napoleon, all the regulars in there. Thank you so much. And we'll be back tomorrow talking to Frank the Salt Guy and whoever else may special guest. Who knows? Who knows will show up tomorrow? Anyway, we'll take care, guys. Good night. It's a beautiful world for you. It's a beautiful world for you. It's a beautiful world, not me.
Thank you.